by Riverside.
Back with another one. What's up, guys? I'm Marlon.
And I'm Marie.
And this is On Our Radar.
Spirit Fingers.
Spirit Fingers. That's the one corny joke you're going to get today. Maybe.
Okay, because I'm on the show, and that means there might be a few more. So, I was going to say, do you want me to? Mm-hmm. No? Okay. Mm-hmm. Fine. Mm-hmm.
Well, we hope you guys have been doing good. We are back with another episode, and today we're talking a little bit about energy. Energy in the relationships, how much you're putting into it, how much you want to give, how much you can't give. It's something that we saw on social media pop up last week, and we had a kind of a little bit of discussion about that and said, you know what, let's make it a bigger talk on the show, because especially for us personally, we have been on the up and down of energy over the past, I would say, 2 to 3 years. It's been different, and especially in a transition between pandemic and from moving into being new parents, into being in a car crash, coming out of that into physical therapy, going through procedures, going through all of that stuff. Our energy has been up and down, especially, you know, with our most recent things. And now we're entering another stage where we're hitting the almost halfway mark with our son, you know? So it's like a lot of different things have been pulling us in different directions. And we're also trying to figure out how to keep ourselves grounded and connected with each other. And that requires energy. So what we're going to talk about today is like, how much can you actually give before you feel like you've given too much?
Right. You can't pour from an empty cup. So boom, how boom, to boom. Keep your cup empty. I mean, how to keep your cup full. And also tools to use when your cup isn't so full.
There you go. You had to
That's
catch
what
yourself.
I meant.
You had to bring,
That's
you
what
had
I
to
meant.
Bring yourself back.
Yes.
Okay.
So sorry. But first, let's talk about a baby news.
Okay.
Okay. So we've introduced solid foods.
Oh, Jesus. I am the most worried about the solid foods than anything else.
Yeah.
Because that in turn brings us back to kind of the early stages where there might be some constipation, and I'm not prepared for that.
Oh my gosh.
When he had an upset stomach, it was
not
hell
good.
On earth.
Yes.
It was really like we speak about him in the best light. But I have to say, when he is upset and when he's ready for the rage, it is unmatched.
Yeah, absolutely. Unmatched. It's a bit like I still remember that one night where he was for sure colic. And mm-hmm. It was just that high pitched. I'm sure that's probably the same thing that you're thinking about. It's like mm-hmm. eyes wide, high-pitched screaming, angry face, arms up,
It's in my soul, the scream. If any of you listening right now have ever watched Dragon Ball Z and you hear like Goku screaming for like a really, really long time, like his jawline is open and is like from all the way up to his nose to all the way down to his middle of his chest. That's the level of screaming that our son was on at that time. And I feel that coming back and I'm not ready.
Well, I hope not like that, but yeah, like you said, I think there's going to be times that he will be constipated. There's nothing that we can do to prevent that as much as we can, you know. It's going to happen. We have the stomach calming tools that are necessary, and when the second you or I notice that something's up, we'll just We'll do that because
We'll tackle
for the
it.
most part, we've had great nights. Once we like, okay, you're colic, this is what to do. This, we went and we got something to help him with that. We changed the bottles. 2 days later,
Talking to Dr.
yes, 2 days later, he was much better.
Yeah.
So
Goes with the territory, learning
it's learning
experience.
experience, but I mean,
Yeah.
I am most excited to actually feed him. He
Yeah.
is—he's a pretty good eater. I have to say, he opens his mouth, he takes it.
Yeah.
It doesn't always go
Yeah.
down. It's very
Yeah.
funny to watch him, like move the food around his mouth, and yeah,
Yeah, the face that he's making is just like
it's like what? This isn't milk.
right.
So funny.
But we've started off pretty good. We hit the bananas. We have baby oatmeal, aka water cardboard. And we've introduced mangoes. I personally am excited for mangoes because it's like one of my favorite fruits. And he's not necessarily hating it, but not necessarily loving it.
I mean,
So,
he ate a good amount, this
yeah.
morning. So, yeah, he
The
didn't.
process of just
Yeah,
getting the fruits in is just
that's
gonna
just
be,
it.
it's just it. But that baby oatmeal, god
I know
damn,
it's
that
really
shit is
gross.
trash.
And
That is
it's
straight
a
up
banana. It's
trash.
banana apple flavored.
Which one did you just open then?
A banana apple.
Oh, it's a combo flavor. Combo flavor. I don't taste no banana and I don't taste no apple.
Same.
All I taste is, I don't know,
I get
paste.
hints of like peanut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get hints of like peanut oil or something, but no. But it's like got all the like,
Yeah, it
it's got
has all the
all
vitamins
the
and
vitamins,
nutrients and
all the
all that.
nutrients,
Blah,
all
blah,
that's on
blah,
the
blah.
thingy. It's good to start him on these foods. Allergy, whatever, check foods so you can check off like is he allergic to apple, peanuts, eggs, soy, all that's in that. So I guess we can check all that off for, because he's had it 2 days and he's fine, no reaction. That's basically why we're taking our time. That's the thing,
Yeah,
because you never know what someone's allergic to. So you give them
of
something,
course.
you leave it for a couple days. And then, we'll see how
We'll
his reaction is.
see
But
how it makes
yeah,
out.
it's fun. It's fun. We got to pop open the ch high chair, which is like, oh my God, we're doing this already. And a reminder that it is June and he's going to be 6 months at the end of this month, And now we've had this baby for 6 months and now we're on to the next tier of things that we need to do with him because he's here. A little, just said yesterday, a little bit of personality is coming out. It's exciting.
Yeah, we realize that he takes after me on certain things, and I'm excited about that. He just doesn't let anybody just roll up on him. He has to like have a vibe check, and I'm glad that he does that because I am the same way. So it's good. It's good. I'm feeling confident that his personality will just shine through, and he'll just be a little blend of both of us, a little light and a little dark.
Okay, but I'll leave it there. It's been fun, guys. Stay tuned. Love talking about our baby, so we'll keep doing it.
Keep doing it. But go ahead,
Okay.
continue.
Now for the original topic, is marriage a 50-50 partnership? And do you always have to put your 50% in. Sorry, I had to like maneuver my way around to
Oh,
finish
yeah,
reading
because
this. Yes.
you have your notes up. Got you.
Sorry about that. I should have just moved to the side like this. Okay. Is marriage a 50-50 partnership? And do you always put your 50% in? So, you understand what I mean. Do you always have 50% of yourself to give to the relationship every single day of the week? And the answer is no.
No,
No, you
it is true.
don't.
And I have to preface that we're not talking about like 50-50 in the stages of, bills or household
No.
chores or things like that. Like, everybody's household is different. Everybody's financial situation is different.
Absolutely.
And that's not what we're calling into question here. We're talking about the core values of the relationship. When you're talking to each other, when you're engaging each other, both in, friendship, both in casual, both in sex, all of that part we're talking about. When it comes to the finances, that's your bag, that's your business. But to be honest, to honest answer to answer honestly, words, no, it is not always 50-50. Sometimes you're coming in at a smooth 30. Sometimes you're coming in at a hard 10. For me, my 50-50 level has been, it really declined straight after the accident. I think I wasn't even given 10. I think I was giving barely 2, because I was just like in both shock and then in pain and then in just more shock. So those were moments where I was just like, I have barely anything to give for myself, and I know I can't give to you. We have to just kind of just show up where we can and hope that there's a common understanding that I'll come back from this. But it's tough to give your 50-50, especially when other elements around you is stopping you from giving your 50-50. A lot of times people get too hung up on the outside and forget to focus on the inside. And by outside, I'm talking about, job and, other influences and then own personal goals and aspirations, their friends, their family, things like that. Those things stop you from giving your 50-50 because you're more invested in that than focusing on what's going on inside. And that's a hard thing to shift, especially when, maybe a little bit that you're not giving your 50-50 and you're like, meh, kind of move on. That's really the unfortunate part when you start to have that type of mentality, because that means you're giving up more on the relationship than you want to invest in. And
Flag
what's it?
one as
Reflect.
that's just
Flag
flag
one.
one. Flag one as
Flag one.
possible break in a relationship.
Yep.
All true. All true. Well, there are definitely days, like you said, Marlon, that especially after big events, I wasn't giving my 50% in after I had the baby. I wasn't even giving 50% in while I was pregnant, I feel, I mean, I wasn't down to like two, but I was probably hit 30 some days because, as I got closer to the end, so much was going on in my head and my body, and I can only give you so much, I can only give myself so much, plus trying to prepare to be away from the office for months, that nerve-wracking fact. And like, I know they can't give away my job, but that was still in the back of my mind. Like, what if I come back and something's weird and things are, huge fears were popping up. And after the accident, huge fears popping up, making sure that you were okay. First we wanted to make sure that the baby was fine. Once he cleared, and I want to say I watched him closely for, we both watched him closely for a good month. But definitely after the 72 hours, mark of the accident, we relaxed, but still the accident is just ricocheting or echoing. The ramifications of the accident are echoing throughout, will echo throughout this entire year. I don't think we'll be completely over everything until maybe next February. Maybe then. I mean, it's unfortunate. But this is, it was a bad accident. We're lucky to have both walked away. With our, we could walk away, but I know there are still things that's coming up for you. Hopefully this is the last thing I needed to do, but so long as one of us is at almost 100%, for the baby, for each other, it's fine. Like the clip that we watched said, if you can only give me 40%, I've got you covered. There's, of course, there were some days in the early months of us having a baby that neither of us could cover it. We weren't going to get to 100%, but we knew that this wasn't going to be the thing. This
Right.
wasn't going to break us. We couldn't give 100% into our relationship because of circumstances, but those circumstances were going to lessen, and our relationship was strong enough, is strong enough to survive a couple of weeks of not being great. And it's not like we were angry with each other, we were angry with outside forces. And the best thing I would have to say is that we didn't attack each other. To this day, to this hour, to, you know, we have not attacked each other. We have not nitpicked at each other's, like, oh, you didn't do this, oh, you didn't this. You know, we've understood each other's shortcomings, and you've helped me, I've helped you, you've helped me, and
What?
we're moving along, we're moving along. It's a little slower. A little bit more of our free time is taken away. But like I said, I feel like once we get to February 2024, it's gonna be all done. It's gonna be all done.
Yeah. And it's really important that we kind of circle back and tack at the point of, once we had our son, our energy was completely spent. Not more so because you gave the physical birth of it all, but in regards to the preparation, getting into it, the post, making sure that certain things were in place for us to have him safe in the house and making sure that we were kind of in that zone, our energy was just in a whole new level. I don't think we've ever been, since certain events, back at 100 for each other, because we've had to kind of tuck ourselves back and say, okay, I have to give it there, and I have to give it there, and I have to give it there. But due to our son and kind of coming together and be like, you know what, all right, fuck it, we're just gonna make sure we get our big boy pants on and our big girl pants on, and we're gonna power through. We got to a point where we can handle ourselves and give our 50-50 than the accident. And I like to say, if you guys, God forbid, never been in a serious accident,
Yeah.
your mentality shifts completely after that. There are just certain things that happen in your mind that you just can't operate, and your energy is completely shot. And if you're, especially if you're in a relationship, things can go south pretty quickly, because there might not be another person on the other end that understands that, and to have to openly explain it and kind of go back to the events itself to make them understand can be a trigger to you. And the one thing that I do say is a little fortunate, but it's a dark statement. And I preface this as a dark statement. We were all in this together when the accident happened. So there is a little bit of a benefit that we both, like Marie said, we didn't attack each other, but we both understood that we were both going through something tough. So when our energies were at our lowest, we kind of were just circling around each other and saying, whatever energy I have, I'm going to give to you because I know you needed support. So there was, I think, like maybe day three or day four after the accident. I think we, no, day two after the accident, we had to basically jump in with our representatives and just like go different places. And Marie at that moment was kind of just like in a fog. And she was just going with it and just kind of like looking around in a little bit of a daze. And I had to kind of, not necessarily, I'm using the word drag, but I wasn't physically dragging her, but I kind of had to pull her along, because my mentality was just like, okay, there's going to be certain things that we have to check off immediately and be ready to kind of deal with. But she is just like, I just need a minute. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you can't take that minute. I have to kind of pull you with me. So her energy was like at a 10.
Yeah,
And my
absolutely.
energy was definitely like at, a 10. But I had to push myself to get up to a 20 to kind of pull it out. And I say that all to say, when it's situations like that, a lot of times you have to dig very deep, very, very deep in both your mind and your heart to kind of push through those things. And maybe it's not an accident. Maybe it's a traumatic event. Maybe it's just overall stress from work. Maybe it's just overall stress from life.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it just happens and you have to dig deeper. And sometimes maybe if you even dig deeper, you don't have it. And that's also okay.
It's okay not to have it. What is not okay is to lie. Don't fake it till you make it with this.
Oh, man. That is a big point. I think a lot of times we think that not telling your partner about what's going on inside is saving the relationship.
Yeah.
It's not.
No, it's like, oh, he doesn't want to hear about it. Yeah, he should. He might not want to, but he should hear about it.
Right.
He should know what's going on.
She may not want to hear it, but she needs to
know. Yeah.
She needs to know. Because if you keep it locked in and you think, oh, all of a sudden, you know, it's just going to work itself out. And then 2-3 months down the line, you're still dealing with the same issue. The blow up is going to be
for real. Yeah.
You don't want to deal with that. You don't want it. Trust me. So if you have that opportunity to sit down with your partner and really break it down for them, what you're going through, you're number one, I would hope that you're with somebody that has an empathetic ear.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And number two, I hope your partner comes in with at least an understanding and an action plan to help support you during that time.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have those two, then there's something else that you have to have a conversation about. And I'm just saying that on my side, I'm not trying to, you know, give you to say, hey, divorce them or leave them. But that's just something to think about because that's kind of important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 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 Oh, yes. I love that. Check-ins. Now, check-ins is something that we really started during COVID. First time I heard about it, I feel. Maybe not. Whatever. But we started checking in with each other during COVID, during the height of it, when we were standing in line to go into the grocery store because you couldn't have more than 15 people in a whatever square footing. That's when we started checking in.
Can I just put a pause for that?
Yeah.
I just want to take a moment to kind of comment on that. I don't think it's like a little bit of a surreal moment to really think that we had to go through those stages, you know, and a lot of people forget that that was a thing. And some people still are dealing with that PTSD till this day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, that check-in that you did and that you decided to do, wherever you heard that from, has been very crucial to keeping ourselves stable in these tough moments.
Absolutely.
And I know that we've commented this, we've mentioned this before on previous episodes, but the reason why we keep bringing it back is because it's really, really crucial. I don't think people seem to get that the checking in with your partner is essential. I think you should be doing it at least 4 to 5 times a day. I'm being serious. 4 to 5 times a day. Because things just pop up throughout the day and you're just like dealing with it on the fly. And sometimes you don't have a time to sit there and kind of reflect on it. You just have to respond. And then when you're done with your day and you sit down, it's just all of that pent up anxiety, stress, and energy is like, damn, I just went through all of this. And, you know, sometimes you just need somebody to be like, hey, you good? How you feeling? You all right? And I do that. Like I'm, you know, we both, you know, are fortunate enough to work from home and I tap in and I'm like, how's it going? How's the day treating you? Things like that. Because I know for her job personally, it's a lot of like interaction. It's a lot of like quick responses. It's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of like, you know, quick emails and she has to pivot a lot. So her response time and energy is just like out of 10. And then on top of that, you know, we're both watching our son at the same time. So, you know, we're both kind of like in flux a lot. So the check-ins are super, 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 important. I repeat, super important.
Very much so. Very much so. Yes. And also to be truthful during your check-in. If you're not okay, it's entirely important for you to say, this is your time. You know, you didn't initiate this. Someone else initiated it. checked in on you. Are you okay? Please be as honest as possible. You know, this is especially to the women and also especially to the men. Be honest with your partner. Be honest with your friend, whoever is checking in on you. If they care enough about you to, out of the blue, go, hey, you know, just wanted to make sure you're good. They really want to know how your day is. Tell me, you know, get it out. So another really
And
important thing.
I've made it a point, especially for myself and keeping my mentality stable, is if I have someone really inquiring about me, I made a promise to myself to tell them the real deal.
Yeah, you did a
You know,
while ago. Yeah.
I cannot give you know, the preview version. It's just not going to work out because at the end of the day, you know, I'm still sitting with a lot
It's a lot
on my
on your
chest,
chest, and no one
you know,
knows what's going on.
and know what's going on, you know. So we can't, you know, we can't, I say me, I can't continue to do that because number one, that's not being true to the relationship,
Right.
whether it be my marriage with you or my friendships with my other friends or just relationship with myself. It's not honest. And I have to start trying to do that more because it helps me keep myself in check.
Right. And also for people who want something from you. You know, this in this particular situation, someone was coming up and asking stuff from us and asking you to help and asking you to do this and asking you to do this, and you were like kind of trying to like placate them until it was just like, whoa, I'm going through a whole lot right now. You know, sans the accident, had the baby, you should leave us alone. You know, this is a whole new like life that it's just like, no, it's not the same, but something like this is getting a pet, a dog or a cat, you know, something that you really have to, like a mammal that you really do have to care for and learn their habits. Similar to the
Indeed.
baby, you know, they
Indeed.
can't, he can't
Indeed.
communicate with us, nor can that dog or cat, you know.
Yep.
We have to learn each other. Do you like, you know, are you a morning, are you an afternoon or whatever, you know? So same difference. You can't pour from an empty cup. Don't ever try to, because
No, this
I feel
is
like that was
slack.
what was going on. Yeah, people kept asking you for things, and same with me. And we eventually had to hold up our hands and go, hey, remember when we got into that accident? Yeah, it wasn't just a fender bender, you know. Real ricochets are
Real
going
shit.
through our lives,
Yeah, real shit.
and
Real shit
yeah,
was happening.
you can't just pull at us.
I honestly had to, you know, when I, when we had the accident. And things were happening, and people were just asking me. I had to actually keep it real honest with one of my family members because they just were thinking that it was just a
A
fly by
fender
night
bender,
situation.
yeah.
Yeah, it was just a fly by night situation. And they were like, oh, you know, how's things going? I was just like, you know what? Here's the full plate. And by the time they were all, you know, by the time I was all said and done, they looked at me, was just like, I, this, what? And I was just like, yeah, this is really what's happening. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't, you know, I was like, yeah, you didn't grasp because, you know, number one, I have to keep it funky, is like you don't genuinely check in. You know, you don't really ask the right questions. You're kind of just going off of, oh, I need something from you and just move on.
Yeah, how are
You
you
know, so
doing? Yeah, while well, you get the thing that you needed for me.
right. So it's just like you gotta be real when you know, if someone's really checking in on you, you have to keep it honest.
That's so
It's
true.
just the way it's just the way it has to be.
So true. So true. My goodness.
And you know, I'm gonna flip it to you. Were you to be honest with you, were you really scared to kind of keep it honest with your friends and family about what was really going on when they checked in on you? Because I know for us in our, you know, bubble, quote unquote, we knew what energy we're giving to each other. But when it was coming to giving energy to other places, were you kind of scared to kind of let people know what was going on?
No. I felt comfortable enough, I guess perhaps because of everything that had happened, that I needed to be more honest. And, you know, once I could wrap my head around what we went through, I was better at communicating my needs from other people, including you as well, I feel. But I want to say that first week, those first 2 weeks, it was real shell shocked. I do remember walking around in the daze, especially that second day. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do any of that stuff had you not been there. And it would have been fine. I would have just done it the next day or the day after, but it's always good to get it, as get in as quick as possible, just to make sure that we're being checked out. Like I couldn't have done it. I didn't have it. I didn't have it in me. I wanted to stay home and hold the baby. And that is what I would have done if you had not been there. So it's really good that you were. It's really good that you pulled your 20% or pulled your 30% and got us. And we also had people, other people helping us, that could like get, hey, come here, and hey, do this. And this is the process, And then once we got into these organizations, they started talking to us, and this is what you do now, and this is, blah, 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 blah. So all that helped you to help me, to help lead me around. But absolutely, those first 2 days, I wouldn't have done anything. I really wouldn't have. I didn't have it. I even think I would have been able to like cook, I was so out of it. I was so just had been, just gave birth. We just did that. We only had gone to the doctor two or three times, still new doctor. They had to take the baby to the, oh no, I didn't have it. I didn't have it. I didn't have it. And you knew it, and you were great. Great. You were great. You're really great during that time. I'm sure I've told you before. I don't know how you mustered it to go, but wherever you dug, that's what you got to do. And I hope that I can be there for you in the future when you need me to. I hope I have been there for you when you were sick. I want you to lean on me just as much as I have had to lean on you. And in fact, I have, well, no, I've le you haven't really le lent on me. But again, another thing that was pulling me in another direction was issues, not issues, but health issues with my mom. That was another life thing. Life keeps going.
Yes, it does.
So the constant check-ins are good in the relationship. The remembering that you're not always going to be able to give 50%, but your partner can help. Being honest with your feelings, being honest with everybody in your circle, having a good tight circle. And I really think, oh gosh, I'm going to pull from a show that I know you don't like. It's the Kardashians. But one of them was saying that when you're in a healthy relationship, it really does something for your whole life. And that is true. I've definitely feel like this is the healthiest relationship of my life, and it has propelled me in ways I don't even recognize myself. Like looking at photos of myself 10 years ago or 15 years ago, it's like such a different girl. Shyer and less confident in herself. Definitely wouldn't be doing this. So definitely having you in my life to lean on has, really opened me up. Made me try new things, try new hairstyles, try new clothing, foods. I hope I also introduced a different world to you too. But yeah, I feel like you really, this relationship has given me a huge confidence boost. And that is primarily because of you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know how to jump off of that, but
Oh.
I will say thank you. To be honest, it's been, a different world with you in it, and it's not bad at all. I would probably say more so because it's like you're just a little ball of positivity, and I need that more than most of the time I like to admit. So it's nice to have that around. And I believe that. Also, I mean, look at you. it's a treat to have you around. So I would go even more inappropriate, but we're coming up on time, so I'm gonna kind of ease my way back. But yes, you have definitely opened up my world and introduced things to me as well. One of the things that I appreciate is that we both have that kind of niche to kind of try things out together and just make sure that, both of us are just having fun while we do it. I think that's the most key thing, is that we both want to ensure that when we do something together, it's both fun for both of us and not just, oh, because this person really likes it. It's like, okay, yeah, you may like it, but I'm also going to enjoy it as well. So I think that was the best thing that you brought to the table, that you're like, oh yeah, I'm down for that as well. I like that. So I'm like, yes, it's good. It's good. But speaking about doing things that we both like, what are some of the things that you have, now realized that you need to kind of do to recharge yourself so you can really give that 50% or give that, 30 or 20 whenever you have it?
It's always nice to have a couple of hours at night to either read a book or journal or watch TV. So I would say that decompress time, if I'm using the term correctly. Yes, I do feel like the times that we get him to bed a little earlier than even tonight, and we have like a good couple of hours like just with each other, I feel like that really like nourishes me, and the next day is better, even if he wakes up a little earlier, like 6 instead of like 7 or something like that. Yeah, that one-on-one time with you, even when we went out to dinner and it was just us, like we weren't out for very long, but yeah, I would say that either downtime or being even outside with you, that is my like plug in.
Definitely.
Or sleep. Shout out.
Man, team sleep, team sleep, team sleep, team sleep. I even find myself like trying to make sure I manage my sleep a little bit better to accommodate what he's going to bring and then what the day is going to bring. Because I know 99% of the time he's the most unexpected thing in this house. Everything else is more planned, but him, completely unexpected, and I have to have some energy to deal with that. So sleep is definitely one of those things. I totally agree. And on top of agreeing with that, I also agree with just having a quick moment where you have time to journal, listen to some music, have a sense of meditation in your space, watching TV together, or just having a casual conversation with each other and just, having a glass of wine. Easy. Those things are just able to, recharge, and that's some of the things that I tap into every once in a while. So I think those are the things that you guys can do as well. But I will say, if you have other things that you like to do to recharge yourself, let us know. Share in the comments. Hit us up. It's on our radar at gmail.com. We would love to hear that. Because as we continue through this relationship and through this parenthood and then through this marriage, any tips and tricks that we can kind of assimilate to ourselves is going to be welcome.
Yes.
Because we're constantly growing as a couple.
Yes.
And what we share with you guys is stuff that we've gone through, but every experience is different.
Yes. Also have recharged myself on the train. And that's before we, while we were dating, while when we got married, yes. I would take that time to on the train to like decompress, to take off the work day, let that go. I would often carry stuff home. I do know that, but I did try to, use that time to like shake that shit off and leave it on the train. If I couldn't leave it at work, I was on the train for a while. I was reading, I was listening to a podcast or whatever. That's other things you can do. Listen to podcasts, listen to music, read, whatever, journal, like you said, Marlon, to shake it off, to get it off of you. So when you walk into the house, you're not carrying the dead weight of whatever you didn't do at work, whatever email bothered you. Yeah, So harder stuff to do, especially if you're
Yeah.
working at home, which we are most of the time. But I do go in, and those times that I do go in, I do try to take that train time to like really get back to zero.
Get back to zero. And as we say this to say, try to work it out with each other, maybe work it out with yourself a little bit and then work it out with each other, but constantly check in and really talk to each other. It is just the biggest thing that we keep repeating on our podcast because it is so crucial and is so essential.
It is.
As the saying goes, closed mouths don't get fed. It's just really that simple.
It really
It really
is.
is.
It really
And
is.
at the end of the day, just remind yourselves that you guys are a team.
Your team, you love each other. You're starting from a place from love. You generally love each other. Generally, you genuinely love each other. You genuinely care for each other. Remember that. And try to remember that weekly, if not daily. And
Maybe wake up and be like, we're a team.
we're a
Just be
team.
like, wait,
We're a
we're a team.
team. We're a team. We're a team. Even when someone's not acting like a team, you're still a team. You're still a team. You can, pull them back. And like Marlon said, you gotta speak up. Oh my God. It's the hardest thing. It is the hardest thing, which is why people say it constantly. But like, good Lord, if you don't open your mouth and say things or ask questions or you steamrolled over, you'd be steamrolled over, And
Very true.
that's everything with work, medical things, love life, friends, family. You've gotta open your mouth. It's the people with the biggest mouths and are always letting people know, where they are, whatever. No one wants to mess with them because everyone knows, like, that they will open their mouth and say something. That's what we all need to be. That's how we all need to be. It's how we all need to be. I swear. I swear. I constantly I'm like, ah, you should have asked that question. Oh, you should have said that. Like, I'm constantly thinking that to myself. So that's just definitely gonna be like a life lesson that I definitely try to teach our son and other child as well. Like, please, please. Even when you're nervous, even when you're scared, ask questions because my God, the times that I didn't ask questions, I felt like an idiot. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here, It's just bad. It's bad
It's
business.
just
So opening your mouth, telling your partner, telling your family, telling your friends, it's fine. It's fine. It's important. It's healthy. We all have feelings. Your feelings are validated. And people who are, oh, also, people who are not validating your feelings or trying to, say that you should be feeling that or anything like that. These are red flags to get those people out of your life. So be vocal. Be vocal. You're gonna want to because whoever doesn't pay attention, you don't need them.
Not even going to comment on that. I'm just going to let that sit in the air.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our show. As always, please follow us on social media. It's On Our Radar on Twitter, it's On Our Radar on Instagram. And if you have a question, comment, or something you'd like to share, it's On Our Radar at gmail.com. As always, shout out to Riverside and Anchor and Spotify for giving this an opportunity to both record and stream and video record our podcast for you guys. It's always a pleasure to share our thoughts and feelings with you. And you know what we got to do at the end of the show? We got to hit you with the quote of the day. And that quote of the day is inhale the blessings, exhale the thankfulness. Inhale the blessings. Exhale the thankfulness.
Meditation is a great thing too.
Yes, it
Hard
is.
to do, but there are a bunch of apps.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, guys, as always, I am Marlon,
And I'm Marie.
and we will see you next time on Our Radar. Stay safe, guys, and namaste.
Namaste.
Bye.
Bye.
Powered by Riverside.